This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
More breasts than CNC Drive Factory. You're rising up with Jeannie and Adam, Joy 94.9.
Hello, this is Jessica Clark, and you're with Ginny and Adam on Rise Up on Joy 94.9.
Hey, Jin, can I please join the girl club? Can I get some service, please?
Well, Adzie, you can be the newer girl if you change your name to Ashley.
I almost got away with it. I'll even kiss her. I'm famous.
No need to open Pandora's box yet. It's like going 8 guns over a dead girl.
That's the price of vengeance on the last road to hell. It's the violent kind.
I guess that's a cure for dead. Shall we ask Julie and Jack to join us?
Sure. I'll just get the ad game on Grey's Anatomy and exit stage left.
Well, this interview ain't about a boy. It's about an up-and-coming actress, comedian, and writer in LA, Ilea Matthews. G'day.
Hello. That was awesome.
Glad you approved. Well, you're a cover girl of Curve magazine that we love over in the States. You're star of a web series. You've just started doing stand-up comedy alongside Minnie Driver. You've been quite a busy lady over the past few months.
Yes, I've been very busy.
Do you know Minnie Driver does a killer Bombay accent in Indian, if you want to get her to do that? It's quite hilarious.
Oh, does she?
She does. She does. It's I watched her on Kumar's on 42, and Sanjeev Kumar got her to do a Bombay accent. It was like chatting to one of my aunties. It was hilarious.
Oh, my goodness. I'll ask her. Hilarious.
Well, Ilea, online we were Googling you before and doing some research, and we were a little bit confused because according to an online heterosexual meter, you actually rank quite highly as heterosexual. Can you clarify that for us a little bit there?
Yeah, I am a raging homosexual.
But I like emphasis on the raging.
Raging. A lesbotronic, if you will.
What's a lesbotronic?
I think it's just lesbian by nature, so it's a part of the tronics of myself. I don't know. That thing is so funny. I'm like, how did you even decide that I was heterosexual for me?
One of the things that caught our attention was your role in Kiss Her, I'm Famous. You were starring alongside The Real L Word's Tracy Ryerson. That was quite a successful web series. How did it feel to be a part of it?
It was really wonderful. Introduction to the, I would say, lesbian world. I hadn't done anything that was so involved with the community. So it was great to be a part of that. Obviously, you know, the Curve thing came with it. But it was fun, and it was different, you know. Really love the storyline of Jen, her character, and how kind of crazy she was. So it was like one of the best roles to play. I remember when I was younger, there was a need for the content, and you couldn't find it anywhere, you know. There were just, you know, certain ones that were there, and then the L Word came out, and it was like, yes, we've got a TV show, you know. And you feel like you could relate to it because there were so many different characters and everybody identifies differently with each one.
Well, when The L Word came out, you know, a part of me was excited because, yes, there was finally a representation of lesbians on TV. Another part of me was disappointed because when I went to LA, not everyone did look like Carmen de la Pica Morales. But yourself and your fiancé, you both identify as femme. So it's great to see a femme power couple out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think on my end, I was upset with that as well, because I was like, this isn't how the community is. I mean, I'm, you know, this feminine, but where are all the hot femme lesbians? Because I'd like to meet them. But I do think that the L Word really made it socially acceptable to be either more androgynous or be feminine, like, because there was such a stigma with, you know, if you're gay, you have to be butch. And I had a bunch of people when I was younger tell me that I'd never find anybody if I wasn't butch or if I didn't like butch. And I said, well, that's not really who I am. And I've been fighting, you know, to be me my entire life. So why would I change that part of me, you know, to fit into another community? It just, there was no acceptance, you know? So I really saw the community changing over the years when the L Word came out, because it sort of sent out a message that you just have to be who you are, you know? You're feminine, then be feminine. If you like feminine, then that's okay too, you know?
I think they're all hiding out at Dinah Shore, actually.
Yeah, I think I've also kind of been thinking about the grander scheme of things and the you know, the stereotype that people want you to fit in. So if you look this way, you should be having children and be married and all that kind of stuff. And I think, and if you're gay, you should be butch and whatever. And I think that a lot of the times women who are feminine, maybe that are questioning their sexuality, have a harder time because society just expects you to be that way, you know. So there's just a lot of pressure on either end.
And does any of this come through in the comedy work that you do?
Yeah, my stand-up, definitely. I sort of poke fun at the fact that I am so feminine and that what you get is not what you see. So people love to put labels on me, and they think I'm, you know, a cheerleader from high school, and I dated the dated and married, you know, the football star who was homecoming king. So they have all of these labels for me, and then they once I open my mouth, basically, and I'm like, damn, that girl's hot. Like, wait, what? Excuse me? I'm like, oh, I'm raging lesbian.
It's actually funny that you mention about football, because we actually just had an article come through just after our show this morning on from OutSports that that a kid in high school was inspired by Michael Sam, the NFL draftee who got picked up, but he hasn't played a game yet. An NFL quarterback took his boyfriend to the school prom, and he got homecoming, but everyone was like, oh my God, we had no idea he was gay, and this is like the most popular boy in school.
That's fantastic. You know, and that's sort of what all of these films and you know, things throughout the years have done, is it showing people who maybe felt repressed. I mean, in high school, if I would have come out, it would have been terrible. One kid did come out, and his house got egged. They carved gay into his car. They made his life a living hell. So I grew up in a predominantly Mormon town, which is really conservative. So being homosexual was like the worst thing that you could be, you know? So I think it's, and you know, now my school has an LGBT, like alliance that meets after school, and teachers are running it, and it's just so much more acceptable, you know, to be who you are, which is wonderful, because it's isolating and it's sad. But I think through the media and through, you know, having all of these lesbian things that are accessible, like via YouTube or Hulu or, you know, wherever it goes, I mean, even Netflix with Orange is the New Black, people are watching this in the Midwest somewhere in America where it's very conservative, and they're like, oh my gosh, it's okay to be me. I'm not weird. You know, other people think like I do, which is a powerful message for people who are young.
You know what they say? They say gay and lesbian people are normal. Everyone else is just jealous.
Maybe true, because we're fabulous. They love to party with us.
And every time we sneeze, we have like glitter that flies out. I mean, hello, who would not want to be a homosexual? I mean, seriously.
Right? I make that joke where I was like, I'll sneeze around someone who's really, because I mean, I've had times where I'm like walking down the street with, you know, my girlfriend holding my hand, and someone will pull away, and I'm like, oh, don't let me sneeze on you. You may catch the gay. Oh, no. You know, it's contagious.
Although one thing I am going to try is next time I do have a Mormon come to my door saying, have you heard about Jesus? I'm going to say, oh, hey, Zeus, my partner. Yeah, he's in bed. Let me just go grab him for you. And then see what they say. They'll probably run away.
I had one Mormon friend who basically told me when that whole No on 8 campaign happened here in California, she said, I'm accepting that you're gay, but I just don't think you should have the right to get married, is basically what she told me. And she's like, and I care about you. And I was like, but in my head, I'm thinking, but really you don't. You just have your agenda and what you want and what you believe in. And if I'm not abiding by those rules, I'm basically dead to you as a human being, because I can't have equal rights. My friends were Mormon in high school, so they're not my friends now.
Oh, dear. That's awful, Ellie. But very positive words there. On a lighter note, I've been following your career a little bit, and I found out that you played the character Pussywagon. Now, I watched Kill Bill, and I loved when Uma Thurman said, my Pussywagon died on me. How on earth did you pull off a character with a name like that?
That was a funny story. I actually got a phone call at 10 o'clock at night saying, can you be on set in an hour? The girl who had previously played the role decided that she couldn't do it and made up some excuse that, you know, her grandma was sick or something, and basically fled the scene. So they called and they said, you know, are you available to film this movie? And I was like, yes. And before they even told me the details, I said yes. And then someone said, are you comfortable kissing a girl? And I said, yeah. definitely not something that I'm scared of. I might be pretty good at it.
That is hilarious.
I might be able to nail that one. So I get to set, and they throw me into a room, and they start curling my hair and trying clothes on me and putting on makeup, and they literally, like, push me out. Before I didn't even know what the script was or what was happening, so they push me out, and they're like, go. And I'm like, all right. So people are, like, the actors are reacting to something, and I just react with them, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
So you literally were thrown into the Pussywagon.
Yeah, and then they're like, would you be comfortable with her pretending to shove a bottle up there? And I'm like, sure. You know, what do you do? Like, what do you say? You know, Hollywood magic, you know. So the other girl got a little more freaked out than I did, because she's straight. But I think she was like the more comfortable one before the girl quit. And then once I came along and I'm like, I'm a raging lesbian, she's like, okay, now I'm uncomfortable. Because I don't know. They have some, you know, straight people have the mind frame where they're like, oh, well, if she's gay, she must like me. You know, and it's like, no, don't flatter yourself. I have a type. You are not it.
Other than acting, you've been working on, like we said before, your stand-up comedy, and you do make reference to your Filipino culture. Where did the Filipino go in your looks?
I ask that question every day. It's quite depressing. I try not to dwell on it too much, because at times I break down in tears and I'm like, why? Why don't I look more Asian? makes me sad. I'm serious. My nephew looks more Asian than I do, and he's, I don't know, it's just a sad state. I'm short. That's what I tell people. I have really straight hair.
Well, that's semi-Asian, of course.
And that's about it. So my mom is only half, but she was born and raised there until she was 18.
Oh, wow.
So I always tell people physically I'm, you know, a quarter, but mentally, with the way my mom raised me, I'm half, because she's very much a Filipino mom. She's stoic. So stoic. I'm like, Mom, do you have emotions? And she's just like, you know, why didn't you get good grades? Why didn't you do this? Why aren't you on TV? Why don't you have bigger lines? Why aren't you starring next to Angelina Jolie? I'm like, Mom, you can't just walk into an office and be like, well, I'm here. Put me in a movie. My mom wants me to be here. She said I could.
I can see your mom will be next to you going, she got jokes. Give her a line.
Yeah. I know. Bring her down here to the offices. They'll just feel bad because she has no idea what she's talking about when it comes to Hollywood. All she knows is, like, why aren't you at the Oscars? You know? So easy to get there. In her mind, it's just like, you just walk on. I'm like, yeah, that's what you do, Mom.
Do you need a GPS?
And they're up the street from me. So she's always like, she did send me a text message once. She's like, are you at the Oscars? I was like, no, Mom, they have high security. And she's like, oh, another year you didn't make it to the Oscars.
Oh.
Maybe next year. But like, she thought she was being funny, you know? So I saw her at Thanksgiving and she just sent that text last year, and she goes, do you remember that joke where I, you know, joked about, well, actually it was more like, do you remember the joke about the Oscars? I'm like, yes, Mom, I remember. She goes, I was funny. Real funny, Mom. Real funny.
Ali, you got a movie that you're writing and hopefully getting funding for next year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I would say it's a coming of age story. The premise is a 28-year-old Mormon girl is diagnosed with a glioblastoma stage 4. And so she decides to rekindle a forbidden high school romance with a girl. And all of it is unbeknownst to her parents and, like, her normal world, if
right.
you will. So she's having this affair on the side that, you know, I think I had my grandma died of cancer, and it really got me thinking, when you're faced with something like this and deep down inside you're having this turmoil about who you are, but you've got a religion and parents who are trying to dictate your life and tell you what to do. What do you do in that situation? You know, how do you face life when they tell you it's ending? Are you going to, you know, really try to be who you are, or are you going to just basically die trying to make other people happy? You know,
so, I can't wait for that one to come out. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So this is a blend of the two. It's called Revealing Nothing. So she's able to basically live two lives. It's a sort of a dual life thing that's happening. And it's a sad story, but I think it sends a good message too at the end.
Is this semi-autobiographical? Because you said that you grew up in a Mormon community
there,
as well.
There are parts of it, yes. Yeah. My first real relationship with a girl was when I was in high school, and she was Mormon.
Wow.
And we had never said that we were together, but I think it was an unspoken love, you know. And then one day, for no reason, she just stopped talking to me. So I think her parents were maybe suspicious that something was going on, or we were a little bit, you know, not typical from two friends that are, I don't know, like normal girls, I don't think cuddle like we did. You know, we don't spend every single waking moment together. So we were very much girlfriends, but that was devastating, absolutely devastating. And I didn't understand like what happened and why she couldn't talk to me anymore. So, and I never found out the answer, like, till this day. I don't really know that she's out, or if she's, I know nothing about her, but I think she's probably not. So it got me thinking of, like, in her shoes of what life must be like. Because I'm happy, I'm out, my parents are accepting, I have a supportive family, I have supportive friends. So I can't imagine my life being in her situation where it's repressed and people are, you know, basically judging you on feelings that you can't control. So I wrote this script to also, and I just think that there's a lot of people out there, especially in the Midwest, because it's so conservative, that need something to hold on to, you know, to be like, it's going to be okay. You know, I can be who I am and people can still accept me. Because we have such a high suicidal rate, you know, amongst the homosexuals that are young. I watched, I don't know if you've seen the documentary, but 8, The Mormon Proposition. Children in the streets of Utah, where they have to sleep under, you know, the cement buildings when it's below zero outside because their parents are putting them on the street because they're gay. And these aren't kids that are out stealing or bashing cars. They're, you know, they're IT techs. Their future's IT techs. They're smart. They're, you know, they're just gay. Kind of stuff really broke my heart, you know, that this religion has set itself up to where it would push out a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, because they're just trying to be who they are. It's in the process of it's like the final draft, and I'm giving it to someone who has been nominated for an Emmy for his writing to look it over, and he's going to give it back, and then we're going to try to get a B-list actress attached, and then from that point, I think we'll start to try to get funding for it.
And then Aaliyah's going to say, "Mum, I went to the Emmy Awards," and she's going to go, "But it wasn't the Oscar."
No, someone said you should go bigger, and they're like, now, instead of lifetime achievement, you should say, is it a Nobel Prize, a Nobel Peace Prize? Because they're like, your mom is just never going to be enough for her. I'm like, I know, it won't. It will never be enough. Like,
Aaliyah, we've got a game we play with all of our guests. It's called Ginny's 5 Questions. You've got 30 seconds to answer 5 hysterical questions. Would you like to play?
Of course.
Okay, question number 1. Can you please give me a quote from Jason Derulo?
Jason Derulo.
There's only one answer to that. Question number 2. Do you know any songs from The Lion King, and can you sing them?
Oh, yeah. Can you feel the love tonight?
Oh, perfect. Question number 3. If you could invite 3 people to dinner, dead or alive, who would they be?
Charlize Theron, my nice. Future wife, and Kate Beckinsale.
Wow, that's a very hot dinner party. What would you cook for them?
Lettuce wraps.
That is delicious.
They're killer. Like that, if my gayness doesn't win him over, those will.
Question number 4. What would you do if you were turned into a fish?
I would celebrate freedom and hide a lot, which really isn't celebrating freedom, is it? It's actually going everything against what I just said. So I don't want to be a fish, but I do.
No worries. Question number 5. Who would you turn straight for?
I wouldn't.
So you're that gay.
Yeah, I just, if Anna Kendrick was the last person on Earth, then I'd probably turn straight.
Oh, and Into the Woods, number 1 fan right here on the line here. Aaliyah Matthews, thank you so much for your time. Absolute pleasure chatting to you.
Hi, this is Paula Abdul, and you're listening to Adam and Ginny on Rise Up on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Rise Up on iTunes, Stitcher and joy.org.au/Rise Up. You're with Ginny and Adam on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.